And now, the final act of Top Secret Magic. We are at the Pearson Auditorium in Roswell, New Mexico. The citizen actors are performing the play by Marty Martin. Our final scene opens at Bethesda Naval Hospital on the 16th floor. James Forrestal, the Secretary of Defense, has checked in for rest.
I have a need to make a statement. Surely under the circumstances, no one would deny me that. First, let me say that I've known, I've seen, I have touched things that defy all prior experience of mankind. You think they're not here, not watching us as we bathe and feed and grunt through our petty moments of passion? You think they're not laughing at us, crawling around like dung beetles in our minuscule tracts of dirt? All right, so they don't laugh at anything. No joy, no rage, no fear, no sorrow. Cold as a witch's tit. My parents were born in another century. If they had known, they believed there was meaning to life. God, country, family, work. The summer sun on your face, the smell of rain on the prairie, baseball and hot dogs. How could they have guessed that the great benevolent universe they innocently brought their children into is potentially a more sinister place than their simple picture of Satan's hell? Or that their son would wind up one of a dozen poor SOBs who actually found that out firsthand? How can you shoot back at some so-and-so giving you the finger when the damn thing's not even in your own confounded dimension? Crouch, Mr. President. Pow, pow, pow. Auf Wiedersehen. Jab, sir. Kaboom. Bunzai. Ruskies, let me at him. Das Vindanya. I can take the bullets and the shrapnel and the bombs and the mushroom clouds. I'm made of solid American steel. Here, pound on this. This is the Secretary of Defense of the United States of America, a man of war. Throw me a real enemy, one I can damn well aim at, and I'll annihilate him. But this, is anything real anymore? Is this how cattle feel when they finally figure out at the last minute what the hell's going on, that those peaceful green pastures all lead to a slaughterhouse? My father didn't raise me to be Flash Gordon. I want to be with my parents in the old universe. The old one.
An MP steps into the light.
Will that be all, sir?
You want more?
Putting a gun to Forrestal's head.
Sorry, Mr. Secretary.
Up yours. It's a favor. You deal with them.
You mean the communist?
You'll see.
Suddenly, Forrestal grabs the gun away from the MP and leaps out the window, screaming 20 floors to his death.
We're being invaded!
Shit!
The light fades and rises on Hangar 84, where our tiny alien gray lies in a large cage, attended by an MP, Bronk, and hospital staff. Bush enters. Twining joins him as Brazel continues to watch apart.
Good God Almighty.
It looks like a fetus.
What do you call it?
EBE-1 for extraterrestrial biological entity. The other three were transported to Wright Field in crates packed in dry ice.
Is it badly wounded?
It appears to be.
What can we do for it?
Ask it to stop convulsing every 12 hours like clockwork and oozing blue fluid from its nostrils.
Has anyone spoken to it? Anyone at all?
Mr. Secretary, we're doing our best just to keep the infernal creature alive.
Hello, little fella.
I know who you are.
My God, it spoke to me inside my head.
Speech is limited. Your thoughts are much clearer.
Are you all right, sir?
It's reading my mind. You don't suppose a damn thing to be a female.
No gender. All identical.
Find out where they come from.
From another star. You are not alone. You have never been alone.
It seems they've been coming here for a hell of a long time.
Can it tell us how to treat its wounds?
Tell him that I can, but I will not.
I don't think it wants to know how.
I wish to die. It will be my time soon. I am older than your race.
I need some fresh air.
What's the matter? What did it tell you?
Get out of my way. I need some fresh air.
Dr. Bush, get a hold of yourself.
Sorry.
Bronk offers his hand in greeting to the alien. It responds by gently reaching out to touch Bronk's fingertip.
We have chosen you.
Well, I'll be go to hell.
Do you hear that, too?
I know I did. Why haven't your comrades come to your rescue?
They are wary. They do not trust your judgment. We know you act as a secret government. It is time for us to tell you what you are.
First, we want to know what you are.
Tell us where you come from.
Our origin is the fourth planet of the second star in the system Zeta Reticuli.
Zeta Reticulum? 2, that's in a binary system 37 light years away. Best observed from the southern hemisphere. Its twin suns are 350 billion miles apart and more or less similar to our own.
Not so. They're at a much later evolutionary stage than your star.
How long did it take you guys to get here?
Instantly.
You mean you can travel faster than the speed of light?
Velocity is not the key. Minimization of the distance is the key.
We don't have time for riddles.
You are not yet prepared for this knowledge.
Gentlemen, let's look at the probabilities here. Older suns imply older civilizations, potentially not just millions of years ahead of us. Billions, gentlemen. They're way beyond steam power, chemical rockets, and nuclear bombs. The source of energy available to them must be immense, enough to demand responsible stewardship. Otherwise, they would have destroyed themselves by now. If they have tended towards primitive aggression the way we do...
I'll show those bugs some primitive aggression.
You have preserved our dead.
That's our custom.
You will return them.
Maybe some, not all.
You wish to study our bodies and our vessels. You have used weapons against us to possess them.
Your technology renders us helpless in the face of its superiority.
We know.
Tell us what you want, EB-1.
Release me from captivity.
Who are you?
A technician.
Are you more important than the others?
You would not understand. All are equal. I am the eldest.
Wouldn't you know they'll be communists?
EB-1, you must be greatly revered by your people.
We do not revere. We are not a people.
What are you, then?
An army.
Say we did give you back. What would you do for us in return? You know, we're a race that believes in exchange.
You wish to possess our technology. You would not comprehend it. You are too young. We are ancient.
You have to admit we learn quickly.
That is relative.
Sure said that politely, didn't he?
Blinded by the sunlight from the window.
The star is intense.
Somebody shut the blinds.
As the staff complies and the room darkens.
That's better?
We are your elder race. We have been here longer than you. Sol 3 is not our planet of origin, but it is our home as much as yours. Your race is the result of 65 genetic corrections.
Wait a second. Are you saying we didn't get here by natural means? Like the other living things on this planet?
Not your brains, not your minds.
And who precisely is responsible for that?
Who do you think you are related to us? The others do not approve.
Others? What others?
We are not the only ones here. 8 other races come and go.
Are they all from your planet?
From many planets.
How on earth could we possibly be related to you?
All that live in the universe are linked through the sacred chain.
Makes a spiraling gesture, the sign of the double helix.
But we are even closer. Your mind is woven from traces of ours, wrapped around the self-centered mind of a reptile, wrapped around the fearful mind of a fish. You're more native elders.
Is that so? And when did you perform these 60-some-odd corrections of yours? Before or after we lost our gills?
Don't tell me you believe that, Doctor. Can't you see he's lying? Christ, are they lucky they didn't land in Oklahoma?
Throughout the glacial period, intervals are approximately 25,000, 15,000, and 2,500 years ago.
Why would you want to do a thing like that?
I'm telling you, it's pulling your leg.
Were dogs not genetically bred from wolves by early human beings, according to your preferences? for beauty, strength, spirit. Our research and experimentation must continue.
What do you mean, experimentation?
The harvesting of human beings taken into our custody.
Harvesting? We call that abduction when the citizens who trust us to protect them start to vanish.
Cease firing on our craft.
First, you'll have to convince me that you've laid down your own weapon.
Our defense systems are not weapons of destruction. Our systems employ evasion and disarmament. Our only to protect ourselves. Can we cause your own explosives and delivery craft to malfunction?
How many more of your kind are here?
Millions.
Now let me get this straight. Are you asking us to look the other way while you secretly assault our population?
We are not aggressing. We are breeding. Our casualties are minimal. Mostly your livestock, which you breed for slaughter.
That livestock just happens to be valuable private property.
Property is an artificial concept. You will progress.
These guys are definitely Reds. You came here for a reason. Why? What's your ultimate objective?
To achieve a hybrid race, of course.
Indeed. What's the point of crossbreeding? You have your own bodies. What do you need ours for?
Containers.
Containers? What does that mean? Containers for what?
So,
whose? Ours or your own, you damn Red Ant?
Both together.
Sounds pretty crowded.
What exactly do you mean by souls?
Entities of another density.
What's your religion?
The alien quietly eyes him. Suddenly Twining stamps his foot at him. Startled, it chokes for a moment.
That's enough of that. Do you worship a supreme being?
The supreme being is the living universe itself. You have not yet discovered that everything is one.
Is he talking about God?
You cannot be enlightened as to the spiritual nature of the universe until you have surrendered all thermonuclear devices on the planet.
I'll bet you'd like that, wouldn't you? In a pig's eye.
Your rudimentary technology is inefficient, your waste is a perilous contaminant, and your impulses are unreliable. Until you are no longer a hazard and can be entrusted with local access to other worlds, you will be prevented from approaching the moon and all of the planets in this system.
We don't have anything resembling that capability.
You have disabled and seized 9 of our vessels and killed their crews. We are prepared to offer an exchange.
Truman enters.
I want everybody out of here.
Mr. President.
Okay, you heard the president. Clear out of here. Show's over.
What's your offer?
Ceasefire, and we will provide limited technology and hardware within your range of comprehension in exchange for limited privileges associated with our research.
Great. This one's a damn lawyer. Accept it.
Brazel, who has been watching from the hangar, is outraged.
What in thunder?
You can't do that. Do you have any idea what you've just agreed to?
Do you realize what they're offering?
But you're talking about trading lives for...
Happens every day, Doctor. Have you never heard of acceptable losses? Would it make you more comfortable if we were considering strategic petroleum fields instead?
This is very dangerous.
Noted, sir. But that's not your department, is it?
Again, the alien chokes. Bronk forces his fingers in its throat, clearing it.
I repeat, acceptance.
Stop! I don't want to hear no more.
He disappears, unnoticed by the others.
You do realize that it'll take some time for us to retrieve your comrade's body.
We will send a pulse signal to your communications. It will indicate the time and coordinates for a meeting with the elders.
Keep that thing alive.
We're doing our best, Mr. President.
That's an order. Now, where's that blasted cowboy? I'm going to straighten that fool out once and for all.
The light fades on them as Truman, escorted by an MP, approaches the hangar. Brazel meets him with a silent stare.
Get some pants on this man. Mr. Brazel? You know, a lot of folks would consider a personal visit from the President of the United States to be something of an honor, sir.
You ain't nothing but a low-down, dirty traitor. You handed us over to him. Lot, stock, and barrel.
Don't lecture me, son. Are you forgetting those little farts can whip our tails and play bridge at the same time, Mr. Brazel?
Oh, go ahead and call me Mac.
Well, how'd you come by that handle?
They tell me when I was a little tyke, I looked just like President McKinley. Name sort of stuck after that.
Okay, as one president to another, call me Harry. Don't you see? They're old. They need us. Their ancient race is played out. No species lasts forever. They're exhausted. They're sterile. We're young and fertile, and there are billions of us ripe for the harvest.
And your brilliant decision was to cover that up? Sir, I believe I can understand there being a need sometimes to operate outside of the law, outside of all common decency and honor, in order to get a dirty job done, for an honorable cause, that is. Where's the honor here? You low-down pack of dirty dogs have done sold us out, the whole human race, your own brothers and sisters, like some heathen band of slave traders in exchange for what?
Technology. What else? For the key.
To what?
To the magic, cowboy. Top secret magic. Oh, yes. And a potential fleet of interstellar spacecraft.
Now, let me get this straight. So, in the end, once they get you hooked on using their batteries, then you wind up answering to them. Gotta admit, they're a dang sight cleverer than you are. They done tricked you.
How's that, Mac?
Well, if what y'all done told me's true, they've been used to no resistance for thousands of years. Then along come you pups with your A-bombs to give them a taste of some opposition. But they done fooled you. If they ain't mean enough to just up and seize control of the planet, they can dang sure make deals with those of you who are. Now, there, that's control. Boy, howdy, ain't that smooth?
You forget, cowboy. They didn't create this operation, sir. We did.
You talking about your highfalutin Majestic 12? Big deal. Heckfire, the kids done already turned it around on you.
The kids?
You know, the wee folk, the little rascals.
How do you figure?
By making themselves downright irresistible to your stinking industry of secrets, for a start. All the while infecting your so-called intelligence branches with good old-fashioned greed. And for what? For information. That them critters alone's a-sitting on. You taught the little fellers how to bargain, Harry, old boy. And then they whooped you at your own game. How you going to checkmate them now?
How many sheep parter ranchers in these parts do you suppose ever got a front row seat at a great turning point in history? You have in your power to be of immense assistance to the captain of your country's ship in these dark, uncharted waters, Mac.
Well, don't go dislocating a shoulder, patting yourself on the back. Good grief, sir. How long could you possibly hope to keep a thing like this secret?
Who says we have? Everybody knows there's flying saucers. They're simply conditioned not to believe in them.
Conditioned. I like that. You know, secrets are sort of like bladders. They have a tendency to bust. So now you're trapped in your own filthy web of deceit. Someone came here from somewheres out there in the wild blue yonder, flew across them light years of time and space, almost supernatural like to get here. They come quietly, bearing gifts, civilizing gifts, you might say. Then, like the angels, they planted their seed in our very midst. And thanks to you, sir, we welcomed them, and in their dumb innocence, and ours, with fire, not as gods, just dark reflections of our own savage selves. But you and your magic team of big shots have done hit y'all's unbridled savagery in a maze of lies and secrets. Yes, sir, Rebob, you're good entrapped in a corner that don't appear to have no ways out.
Enter Blanchard and an MP.
Your plane's waiting, Mr. President.
There's not much time. I was never here, you realize.
You have my oath on that, sir, as a patriotic American.
Good man. Thank you, Mac. As for this other matter...
Sorry. No can do. I mean to get what's coming to me, fair and square. That's my America. I'll take it with me to the grave if I have to.
Just what exactly are you hoping to buy with this confounded reward for your lousy piece of a flying saucer? You must want something, Mr. Brazel. Won't you tell us what?
Well, now you're talking business, Harry. About time. Let's get down to brass tacks. Now that you mention it, I've been shooting the breeze lately with this couple down in Crucis, see? Who are looking to sell a nice, profitable meat locker business. They're getting on in years and kind of tired of running it. Of course, that 20-year-old truck of mine back in town's been a real pain in the saddle for years. I wouldn't mind building a nice little home in Tularosa for my family. Like I say, let's see your chips.
A house, a car, and your own damn business.
That is the American's dream, ain't it?
Damn, but you drive a hard bargain.
Well, at least I got my clothes back.
He shakes a ring out of one of his boots and puts it on his finger.
Say, nice ring you got there, Freemason.
Like many a president, I hear.
You and I are no longer strangers to secrets.
Can I go home now?
Tularosa, huh?
Bet your bottom dollar.
Looks like we've got ourselves a deal, Mac.
Well, sure enough. Much obliged, Harry.
I'm sure your wife will be happy to have you home again.
You can bet. Count on that.
Hey, Colonel, this man needs a shave.
Yes, sir, Mr. President.
Truman gazes out the window as Brazel finishes putting on his boots.
Hey, look, isn't that a wishing star? Starlight, star bright. How the dickens does that go?
Shucks, I forget now.
Amazing, isn't it? How patient the truth is.
The truth, sir?
You know what I'm trying to say. It takes a lot of unsung sacrifices to protect it. Who wants to live in a country that doesn't have any heroes?
Oh, I ain't done nothing heroic, sir. Not by a long shot. What I done is sold out. I know that. Guess that makes two of us. When Mac Brazel rides out of town in that new pickup, believe me, folks are going to talk. Don't make me no never mind. I'm a practical man.
Oh, don't go judging yourself too hastily. Who knows? Maybe we'll both wake up tomorrow and find out that it was all just a dream.
Or maybe just a weather balloon.
Take care, cowboy.
Salutes Brazel and starts off. The light fades and rises on Brazel and Joyce at KGFL Roswell.
Morning, Roswell. This is Frank Joyce, KGFL Roswell station manager. We're joined this fine day by local rancher Bill Brazel, better known around these parts as Mac, who's here with a not-so-out-of-the-world story. Seems the flying saucer that crashed northwest of town a few days ago now has been identified by General Roger Ramey of the 8th Army Air Force as a fragments of a fallen weather balloon. That about sums it up, doesn't it, Max?
A separate light rises on the nun in the desert.
I'll say it again. What I seen in the desert definitely didn't look like the remains of no weather balloon I ever seen before. But if that's what the Air Force says it is, well, who am I to argue? I hear tell people been calling Roswell from Tokyo and London and Rome, just about every place you can name. I'm truly sorry for causing such a ruckus. You can bet your bottom dollar if I ever do stumble on a crashed spaceship, it'll be a cold day and you know where before I breathe a word of it to anyone. Meanwhile, I said I'd eat it. without salt or pepper, and I'm a man who keeps his word. So bring it on.
Folks, that was Mac Brazel, who drove 60 miles in this 100-degree heat to set the record straight. Yes, it's just another reminder that no matter how hard they try, they can't get here from there. You're listening to Frank Joyce, KGFL Roswell. Don't set down that stumbling block. You okay, Mac?
Got a real bad taste in my mouth, Frank, that's all.
He tips his hat and starts to go.
Hold on a minute. You know that wasn't anywhere near the story you told me the other day. What gives?
I'm real sorry about that, Frank.
What about the little green men?
Well, partner, chew on this a while. They ain't green.
He strides off with a sly chuckle as a shooting star cuts across the desert sky.
My name is Peter Robbins. I'm from New York, but I'm proud to work for the city of Roswell as a consultant on UFO tourism, and I'm better known as a writer on the subject. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here in this event. Sometimes we don't realize where we are in a way in the bigger picture. A bit of theater history was made in this hall today. This morning's performance and this performance marked the world premiere staged reading of Marty Martin's Top Secret Magic. This morning there was a woman in the audience who was 26 at the time and grew up as a good friend of the sheriff's daughter, who had a friend who was a nurse who was close to the nurse who disappeared, and she was very moved by the play. Also, about half an hour ago, some of you may have seen me escort a gentleman out of the room. That was Arthur Ossipchuk. He's 85, and he is the last surviving crew member of the B-29, which flew from Roswell with the bodies to Texas. This is real, and it happened. And it looks very good that Marty, our wonderful playwright, and the city, and this cast has struggled with about an $8 budget, and it has not been easy for them, and they have done a superhuman job under the direction of Carol Dishman. And can we have one more round of applause for them? Thank you, and have a great night.
Thank you.